still on through it all. Oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Weather's starting to change out there. And see everybody survive Tuesday night. And so let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here tonight. And we ask that you would guide us now through the scripture, dear God, that you would bring encouragement, Lord, and uplifting to the people, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I want to continue to speak on the same spirit. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify, that means put to death, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. In the message of God in his people, and I know many of you are familiar with these, but I went through just refreshing myself on them and picked out some things here. Brother Branham says, now if I told you I had the spirit of John Dillinger was on me, you'd look for me to have guns and act like John Dillinger. If I told you the spirit of a great artist was on me, you'd expect me to paint pictures of an artist. Is that right? If I told you I was expert mechanic, the mechanic spirit was on me, you'd expect me to know what was wrong with your car. If I tell you that I was born of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus was on me, you'd expect me to do what he did, act like he did. That's his spirit working through a human being. Do you believe that? His spirit worked on a brass serpent one time. Do you believe that? He said, and on the pool of Bethesda, a water chopped up troubled water, Whoever stepped in there believing they received their healing, is that right? Could the water say, look what a great water I am? No, it was an angel on the water that done the healing, not the water. The angel, when the angel went away, it was just water. Men are just men, but it's God's agency. Amen. And no man can say, look how great I am, what I can do. It has to be the spirit that dwelleth in him. That's what does it. But I like how Brother Branham says here, he says, when the angel went away, it was just water. Men are just men. Sometimes we have a tendency to kind of lift some men up to make them different than other men. Like as if they don't face the same things that other men face. And people hold them at a higher regard, but they also hold them at a higher standard. And we're all judged by the same standard. God doesn't have two standards. We're all judged by the same standard, and that's his word. So men are just men, but that it's God's agency. Men are just men. Men make mistakes. Yes, sir, they do. But it's still God's agency. Here, again, he says in South African testimony, he says, if I told you in me was the spirit of some great artist, you'd expect me to paint a fine picture. And if I told you the spirit of John Dillinger was in me, you'd expect me to have big guns and you'd be running for your life. But I tell you, the spirit of Jesus Christ is here. Then you'd expect me to act like Jesus. Is that right? He was a man stern to speak, stern words, beat them out of the temple and so forth. See, when we think about acting like Jesus, we don't think about this. But the prophet brought it out. He says, if I had the spirit of Jesus Christ and you expect me to act like Jesus, he was a man who was stern to speak, stern words, beat them out of the temple and so forth, and yet a man of love. And yet a man of love, a man of sorrow. He was a man who had compassion. Amen. Yet a man of love. Many times, like I said, we don't think of these certain things when we think about acting like Jesus. Most people think about being meek and humble and all these things, which he was and which we need to be. Right. Not being quarrelsome. Right. But he also was somebody that stood strong and firm on the word. There was... some years ago, and in a way I kind of hate to even bring it up, but some years ago, you all know, there was a certain letter sent out to all the churches, and it was in a book form, and it had many things in it, and there was a letter attached in the back of it that had been wrote to Brother Biskell. And during those times, many of these men, that they began to preach and show where there was a wrong spirit there. Then people began to look at those men and begin to take out frustrations on those men. And they thought, you can believe this, people thought they were doing things like that as would be the Spirit of God, but it wasn't. It wasn't. He says here, and hear ye him again, said, now if I told you the spirit of John Dillinger was in me, you'd expect me to have big guns and be an outlaw. If I told you the spirit of an artist was in me, you'd expect me to paint these mountains. If I told you the spirit of a mechanic was in me, you'd expect me to hear your car and know what's wrong. If I tell you the spirit of Christ is in me, you'd expect me to do the works of Christ. That's what the churches look to, not to have creeds, but to have the spirit of Christ. That's what the churches need to look to. To have the Spirit of Christ. But the thing, what we're seeing here, Brother Branham doing this comparison, but Brother Branham's also telling what are the attributes or character of the Spirit of Christ. Because we would have the same character that the Spirit of Christ has. He says, now, what did Christ do when he was here on earth? He said, did Christ say he was a healer? No. Did Christ take credit for healing the sick? No. What did he say? It's not me that doeth the works. It's my what? Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And Jesus was questioned, and here's what he said in John 5:19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Did he say that? How many ever read that? said St. John 5:19, he passed through a lot of crippled and lame people, didn't heal them. He healed a man just laying on a pallet. He was questioned for the man packing his bed, and of course, I guess not healing all of them and so forth, but he passed through and just healed this one and went away, and they wondered why he did it, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. That doeth the Son likewise." Now, if we're going to, the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us, makes us act like Jesus Christ, then it would also, this part, we can't do nothing unless we see it, the Father do it first. Then the Son does likewise. Because as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Now, I've got a few scriptures here that I wanted to remind you of. In John 14, John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he shall abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you." Verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father sent in my name, he shall teach you all things." He's a teacher. And what does that mean? Well, people take, well, if I had the Spirit of Jesus, I'd act like Jesus. Jesus was tempted in every way, knowing the man, yet without sin. I'm sorry, that isn't going to be you and me. There was only one that was worthy. If you and I could do that, then there'd be another person that would be worthy to take the book out of him that sat on the throne. And there's only one. He did it so he could be the perfect sacrifice for us, to take the sacrifice for our sins, for our mistakes. Right? And so, if they're teaching you, then that means what? You're not there yet. If you receive the Holy Ghost, people think when somebody receives the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden they ought to be a perfect person. Why, you shouldn't talk this way, or you shouldn't have done that. Or look, the Spirit will correct them, because it'll teach them. Now, it's a lot easier if the Spirit is doing the teaching at church and everybody is associating with it and connecting and seeing where does what's being said apply in my life, then it's easier learning. But if you can't learn it that way, then you'll have to learn it by experience. And that means you go out and you react the wrong way, and you learn from it. You go out and you say the wrong thing, and you learn from it. See, experience, they always say, is a hard teacher, because it gives you the test first and the lesson later. But sometimes we just can't. God tries to prepare his people. God will know whatever trial that you might be facing, or what's going to be your conversation the next day, who you'll be conversing with. And he knows how that your temperament will be during that time, and how the temperament of the other person will be at that time. And God knows that, and knows that if he don't warn you, you're going to go out there and you'll do it wrong. You won't do it like the Spirit of Christ. You won't be acting like Christ. So he warns you. God warns. And he not only warns, but God from the pulpit tells you how to do it. God tells us how to not stir up trouble. But we can stir it up and then try to learn from, oh my goodness, what have I done? But how many people get harmed or hurt in the process of it? I think we need to really identify with the things. Friends, look, I sat back there and I heard Brother Phil preach during the months when I wasn't able. I heard him preach. I heard what he preached. And I heard the things that many of the things that was said to give guidance to you wasn't even on the in the topic that he had given. But it was just him speaking as his Spirit gave utterance. And the Spirit would warn about certain things and give instruction about things. And that's a lot of what a pastor's ministry is. The pastor, he lives with the sheep. He knows what goes on with the sheep. He knows that, look, the pastor many times after he's pastored you for several years, he knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He begins to learn them. And there's times when, you know, I don't get up here every time and look across here and say, well, let's see, who should I preach on today? There's some conversations you have that I don't hear. There's things you do that I don't know anything about, but yet the Spirit will come and be given correction on it, and then we'll give teaching on it. It'll give you the lesson from the test you took and say, look, now learn from your mistake. I'm not saying this to rile anybody tonight. But what I'm saying is this. People will get and they'll say, well, if that man really got born again and had the Spirit of God on him, he wouldn't treat me like this or he wouldn't say that to me. Well, he just might because he's human, he or she. And they're subject to mistakes. And sometimes they're hard-headed and it takes a while for them to learn. Sometimes we're slow to learn. Slow to move. Hard to change. Some people look at change and it scares them to death. If I'm in a bad situation, change from it ain't gonna scare me. Change for the better is good. If you got to change for the better, then that's what we need to do. Sure. If the Spirit wasn't a teacher and we didn't need it to teach us, that'd mean that we knew all things. We'd be like the serpent told Eve. When he beguiled her, you'll know all things, you'll be like God. Well, you ain't gonna be. I don't care how many apples you eat, and I don't care what all you do, that ain't gonna change your flesh one bit. Your flesh isn't what gets saved. Sometimes people get so caught up in worrying about the flesh of their loved ones instead of the soul of their loved ones. The flesh don't get saved, the soul does. And then Brother Branham said, he said it's the man down there on the inside, the inner man. What does it do? It corrects this outer man. The Spirit of God doesn't dwell in the spirit of man. That isn't where it dwells. That's where Satan, the mind, where Satan likes to try to torment and get things all messed up. But the Spirit of God lives in the soul of a man. And it'll set our spirit to right when our spirit gets off a little bit, our human spirit. With our conscience, our memory, and our reasoning, and our imagination, and our affections. Because we have trouble in them areas. The Bible said the Spirit of truth will lead and guide us into all truth. Now, if we was already in all truth, wouldn't be no need for him to be leading and guiding us, would it? We're still being led by the Spirit. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. And I know I always go back to this scripture, but I'll tell you what, I could hang my hat on this thing. In Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And I look at that, and many times I've read it to you and tell you, these are things that you're going to have to deal with even though you have the Spirit of God, and it's because you're still living in a flesh that's in a fallen state. Sometimes people, I've had somebody say, "Oh, no, we've been redeemed." I know we've been redeemed, but Paul said we're waiting for this body to catch up to the word. He said, when he talked about all creation groaneth and travaileth for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. He said, even we are waiting for the redemption, to wit, the body change. So we're waiting for that. We don't have it yet. So this body, we're going to have to allow the Spirit that's within us to correct this body. We're going to have to allow the Spirit within us to correct the gates of our spirit, our human spirit. That when we go in error, the Holy Spirit within you will bring you right back on track. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you this, he won't let you by with anything. You have to make things right. Amen. That's right. Amen. These are things you deal with even after you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. So even though we have the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwelling in us, and it said it'll quicken our mortal bodies, but that quickening is yet to come. As I said in the earlier message of preaching this, we've been spiritually quickened, but we're still waiting for that quickening of this mortal body. The Spirit of Christ. Amen. Seems like we've preached a lot on different messages bringing out how that we're not perfect, how we make mistakes. And why is God dwelling on that? Not so he can kick us in the teeth over the mistakes we've made, but so that he can say, "Look, son, get back up and go at it again." Brother Branham said, when he said, if you got a little child that's learning to walk, He said, why, they are stumbling fall. Said, you don't whip them for that.
Right.
Said, you reach out your hand and get them back up there and steady them and get them going again.
Amen.
And he said, that's what God does with us, his children.
Hallelujah.
We stumble and fall.
Yes, sir.
He just picks us up. How does he pick us up? By his word.
Amen.
He speaks the word to us.
Yes.
Like what's happening right now.
Yes.
And that lifts us up.
Amen.
Puts us back on our feet.
Yeah.
Hmm. These are things that we as humans struggle with. But I want to say this. If you're catching this for yourself and seeing where God's just, if you make a mistake, God's just standing you back up and saying, okay, go on. Realize that's for everybody else too. Not just you. So in other words, have grace for your fellow man. Have grace for your brothers and sisters. Have grace for them. You see them stumble and fall, don't stand over there and condemn them. Just pray for them. Just pray for them and go on. One of the things should be in your prayer is, Lord, help me forget that I even saw that. Why? Because it ain't going to do you no good.
Right.
But why do we see those things sometimes? Why is there conversations that happen between two Christians and it seems like it goes wrong? God allows that because why? He's working on us. He's chiseling away everything that's not like Christ. And sometimes we have to be put in situations where our button gets pushed, so to speak.
Amen.
Where and normally we would get angry. But as we go along, we learn how to put wrath off. If you feel like you got to scream, walk out where nobody can hear you and scream your head off. Then after you recover, then come back in and deal with the other humans. Interact with the other humans then. I know that whenever my allergies get to bother me real bad and I get them sinuses all infected and all that, I'm short on patience then, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I know that I get snappy. And I know that I'll, you know, that ain't the time I should really be conversing with folks. And so God's had to remind me of that a time or two. If I know that I can't handle it during that time, then what do? Avoid it until my sinuses get better and healed, then I can take it on. That's something real simple, an example I'm giving you. But if you got an individual, and I'm saying this, I know this goes, people hear this thing when it gets on the internet and all that, but I speak from experience. I'm not telling you something that I ain't went through myself and learned how to deal with it. But there are certain people you get around and you know not to bring up certain subjects.
So don't do it. You want to get along? Then don't get to touching on them things you know that really gets them riled up. Don't try pushing their button. If you know something that could be said that would get them all upset, don't say it. If it's killing you, don't say it. Just die out to that thing.
Yes, that's it.
I've talked to people, and sometimes they'll ask me a question or make a statement or whatever, and I know exactly what the problem is. And they might mention somebody else, and I know exactly what the problem is there. But I ain't going to go off on that person that's talking to me. Many times, I'll just wait. I'll try to talk, get people calm. People call me sometimes really upset, and I'll try to get them calm. Many times they got something going on, ain't nothing I can really do about it, except try to give them, a little bit of nudge in the right way, in the right direction. Well, I'll tell you what, if you'd quit doing this and that and the other, then you'd be all right. I can't do that. Say why? Because it'd be coming out wrong and it would not be accepted. They'd think I was really picking on them. As many times, there are times we don't see our own faults. There's many of our own faults we know, but there are some times we'll have a fault, we don't see it. We don't want to see it. And it's a fault. And not anybody can just come along and point it out. That's the truth. When I sat down at the table, Mina's fixed me something to eat, and if I didn't think some part of it didn't come out exactly right, I don't start going off there on the table. I'll use Tabasco sauce or whatever and do the best I can. And then maybe the next time she goes to fix it, if it seems like that there is an open door there where I'm not going to offend her, then I'll say, hey, the last time you fixed it, it was a little bit this way, you know. And if I can do it in a certain way like that, then she'll look to see what went wrong that time or what was wrong. But I don't want to do it in a way where it looks like I'm just you don't ever do nothing right. there's things that, you know, I've often said, just because a thought goes through your mind doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to come across your lips. If your wife says, does this dress make me look fat? The answer is quickly say no. That's the right answer. Don't hesitate. Don't take a look. Just say no real quick. Even if you're looking the other way, just say no real quick. Why? Friends, look, there's things you realize that if you would necessarily maybe say, well, yeah, that does kind of make you look kind of fat. Well, my goodness, she might be asking that question, but if you said that, she'd get offended. It hurt her feelings. So you don't say it. It's the same thing with when you're dealing with other folks. I know I'm giving maybe the examples. I hope that I know they're real simple, but I hope that they get the point across. When you're dealing with other folks, you know how to talk. One of the things I had to learn, I've got a voice that has a lot of volume to it, just normally does. And so I've had to learn, not just around Christian folks, but I had to learn this when I was in the Army and be talking to my superiors. And they would tell me, don't you yell at me. I said, I ain't yelling. And I'd have to realize my voice is loud. And they think I'm yelling. So I have to make sure I talk a little bit quieter. I do it without, I talk the way I talk without even thinking about it. So do you. And just because you laugh after you say something offensive doesn't remove the offense. Somebody say, well, you should do such a, like as if they're joking. They ain't joking. They meant it. I've seen that a lot. Sometimes give kind of, seems like a backhanded compliment. You know, and you get to wondering, was it really a compliment? Did they, or were they being sarcastic? We had to learn how to act in church. We had to learn that if we do certain things in church, it's going to grieve the Spirit of God. So we learn those things and we behave ourselves accordingly. Well, we ought to be able to do that outside these doors too. We ought to be able to do it outside these doors too. And you know what? Just because you're dealing with somebody else that ain't a Christian or ain't saved doesn't give you an excuse to just go off on them. You shouldn't treat them any different than you would if they was your brother or sister. How you talk to them. Why? Because they know that you're supposed to be a Christian. That's right. How you treat others. Jesus was, when he whipped them out of the temple, friends, he was running religious devils out of there. But when he sat down and ate with sinners, he just sat down and ate with them and talked to them. You never hear him saying that he went in and tore up things or got everything all upset because he was talking to sinners. No. Isn't that something? Sometimes we get it in our heads that, well, we shouldn't associate with nobody that don't believe exactly the way we do or go to our church. We shouldn't associate with nobody else. Well, Jesus did. Let your light shine, so shine among men. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah. And it don't matter if they're doing things you don't agree with. It ain't none of your business.
That's right.
And don't think God has sent you around to correct all of them.
Amen.
You don't have to tell them. Many times they'll get her after they're around you a while, they'll get to where they'll stop saying curse words in front of you. And if one slips, they'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, did you tell them to quit talking that way in front of you?" No. Just after a while, them being around you, the Spirit of Christ in you, and they'll start doing it. The Bible says that we are to, it says to, how does it say it? To confess your faults. Confess your faults. Now, I don't mean I'm supposed to confess yours. That means I'm supposed to confess mine. A lot of people want to confess the other person's faults. Look, they don't think they don't already know. And if they don't, you confessing it to them ain't going to help them. You'll just get something else stirred up. Let God do the work. Look, God said that he would present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He said he would do it, present it to himself. He's doing it all by himself.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah, he does do it through the ministry. That's him getting his bride ready. But God don't never force you. He don't pound you over the head. He presents it out there. Then it's up to you to take it and say, "Yes, I'm going to apply that to my life." Hallelujah. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, it's been good to be in your house tonight, Lord. It's been good to hear your word. It's ever instructive, Lord, and very helpful to us, Lord, and very encouraging. Lord, I just thank you for these little times you'll spend with us like this, dear God, and just helping us, Lord. Lord, for we are a needy people, Lord. And we're not like the rest of Laodicea where we don't know we're needy. We know we're needy. We know we're needy, so needy of you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for coming, Lord, and speaking to us in this way, Lord. Bless your people, Lord. Many of them got work tomorrow and maybe Saturday, Lord. I pray you'll be with them, watch over them, keep them, Lord, while they're at work. And I pray, dear God, you would bring us all back here according to your will on Sunday, Lord. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Seem to be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. Thank you.
be dismissed at this time.